Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Miles. You are smooth. How old are you? 15. Man, I wasn't nearly that smooth. I was never that smooth, come to think of it. Thank you, Lee, for our prayer as well. Well, there are countless people who have had to fake the fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. I'm wondering to see if he got that. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Here in the Christmas of 2021. Yeah, we're in a virus pandemic. Doesn't seem to go away. All the uncertainties that are still swirling about us. But there's another kind of pandemic as well that I want to note this morning. And I want to suggest it's a pandemic of loneliness. I invite your attention this morning to Psalm 102. It's been called the prayer of affliction. What I'm talking about this morning, loneliness, it's real. It's pervasive. It's debilitating. Have you seen that Chevy commercial this Christmas of the daughter that restores that old car for her grieving daddy? Man, it resonates, doesn't it? It's real, it's pervasive, and it's debilitating. There's a book by a medical doctor, Dr. Jacqueline Oles, called The Lonely American, Drifting Apart in the 21st Century, that surveys Americans, what we really think behind closed doors. 36% of Americans say that the pandemic has exacerbated their loneliness. I'm surprised that number is not much higher. According to the American Association of Retired Persons, 42 million Americans, 45 plus, say they live with chronic depression. Chronic, I mean, that means it never goes away. Chronic loneliness. But even more surprising is the percentage, the ages of people who self-report loneliness. The number one age group in America self-reporting loneliness are, surprise, the millennials, the 24 to 39. And then come Generation Z, that's the teenagers through 23. Then Generation X, that's 40 through 54. And then baby boomers like me. Young folks report loneliness significantly more than do us old folks. Wonder why? Have we older people just grown accustomed to it somehow? No matter what your health issue, whether it's heart disease or alcoholism or diabetes, obesity, you can find a health study that's going to link it with loneliness. One study showed a 46% increase the risk of death for isolated seniors during the pandemic. More men report loneliness than women. I wouldn't have suspected that. By race, the race that is the highest reporting of loneliness are Hispanic, then Caucasian, then African American. Here's something else surprising. Social media. The greater the social media usage, the greater reporting of loneliness. Wouldn't you think the opposite would be true? I mean, we're also well connected in cyberspace with email and text and chat rooms and telephones and social media, FaceTime and Zoom. And yet, get this, 73% of heavy media users say they feel lonelier than ever. Did you get that? 73% of heavy media users say they report more loneliness than ever. What's the loneliest city in America? Las Vegas. Really? Some commentators suggest that people go not just to win cash at the casinos, but to combat loneliness. Number two lonely city in America is Washington, D.C. That one I kind of get. Four of the top 20 cities in America reporting loneliness are right here in Texas. El Paso, Austin, Dallas, and yeah, Fort Worth. Maybe because of its higher degree of singles in college. Well, I stopped reading this book. It was making me blue and depressed just to read about all this pervasiveness of loneliness in our world. I was talking to one of my best friends, Alexa, and I asked her to play. She talks back, you know. And we were playing Sirius XM 60s Gold, and you know what came on? Eleanor Rigby. You know, that's that Beatles song about all the lonely people in the world and Eleanor Rigby. And I kind of identified with the priest or the preacher, Father McKenzie. He's writing words of a sermon that no one will hear. He's darning his socks in the night when no one comes near. Later, he's going to do Eleanor Rigby's funeral and wiping the dirt from his hands. No one comes and says no one was saved. Well, I just think I'm doing a marvelous job of describing the problem. Have I done well? Just describing the problem. But wait, there's more. Invite your attention. We're in Psalm 102, the prayer of the afflicted. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to thee. Do not hide thy face. I'm using the New American Standard. Do not hide thy face from me in the day of my distress. Incline thine ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days have been consumed in smoke. My bones have been scorched like a hearth. My heart has been smitten like grass, withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat my bread. Because of the loudness of my groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I resemble, get this, a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the waste places. I lie awake. I become a lonely bird on the housetop. If you continue to read Psalm 102, it sure does sound like Jeremiah writing the book of Lamentations, talking about his personal loneliness, the national loneliness during that time of captivity. Verse 4, my translation says, smitten of heart. If you're reading the NIV, I think it says, you're blighted of heart. Other renderings say, struck down of heart. Do you see some classic symptoms here of depression? There's the absence of appetite. In verse 9, for I've eaten ashes like bread, mingled my tear with weeping. There's a lack of joy, even drinking their tears. And you do notice the three birds being spoken of here in verses 6 and 7. Don't they all seem to be displaced? I mean, what's a pelican, that's a seabird, doing out here in the forest? And what's an owl, that's a bird in the forest, what's it doing in the waste places? And what's one solitary bird doing on a rooftop? I mean, they're always in flocks. And of course, this is poetry. This is imagery, of course, but it's to be evocative. Can you see the old pelican with its beak down on its breast, kind of a symbol of loneliness? Can you see the owl twisting its head around, big eyes, hoo-hoo? Can you see anxiety, perhaps, in that? Maybe the one lone bird on the rooftop, a symbol of isolation. Maybe the others have flown away. Who are the birds that get lonely at this time of year? Well, you know who they are. They're the widows, the widowers, anyone who's in the grip of grief, the singles, the orphans, the students away from home, the people in the hospital and nursing homes, the incarcerated, the outdoorsmen, the missionaries, the military. God has a special place in his heart for the lonely. From Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, God is addressed as a father of the fatherless and a judge. That means an advocate. An advocate for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out persons into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Let me make a few observations about loneliness. Number one, don't take your husband or wife for granted. Isn't it ironic that it takes sadness for us to really appreciate happiness? That it takes absence for us to really appreciate their presence? That it takes silence for us to really appreciate their voices? No one to dine with. No one to watch TV with. No one to say, how was your day? Number two, don't make the mistake of thinking I'm talking about somebody else. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today, tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city, and we'll conduct business, and we'll make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. The pandemic has reminded us all about the vagrancies, the uncertainties of life. Luke chapter 13, the Master reminds us that we live under the delusion, the illusion of control. We think somehow we're in control. Wrong. The Master says bad things happen to good people all the time. And he cites some examples in Luke chapter 13. And then surprisingly, Jesus says, since that's the case, since we are not in control, he says the one word, repent. Be ready. Live ready. Stay ready. There are some great examples of biblical personages that had to grapple with loneliness. Oh, I think about Job, his 10 children swept away in a tornado. Three of his good buds who, you know, are harsh with him and critical of him. His own wife disdains him. Here's young Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, forgotten. He thought he'd made him some new friends there in the Egyptian prison, the butler and the baker, but they too forgot him. Here's young Daniel. He's unpacked his bags the first night away from home. Foreign country, foreign foods, foreign language, foreign culture, foreign gods, lonely. Here's the Apostle Paul languishing in a prison cell, writing to his young protege Timothy, says, all have deserted me. No one stood with me. Here's the Apostle John. He too languishing on the salt mines on the remote island of Patmos. Here's the Master himself beneath the darkening skies. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't make the mistake of thinking we're talking about somebody else. Well, happily, Psalm 102 doesn't end with verse 11. Verse 12 through the end of the chapter, the whole tone changes. It's like the psalmist puts down his pen, scratches his beard, takes a sip of Diet Coke, and looks up. And he says in verse 12, but thou, O Lord, dost abide forever. And he begins to talk about the purposes of God and the plans of God and the reign and the rule of the Almighty. Verse 25 through 28, I'm in Psalm 102. Of old thou didst found the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Even they will perish, but thou dost endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing thou wilt change them, and they will be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end. The children of thy servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before thee. First 11 verses, he's talking about his hurt. The last verses, he's talking about his hope in Lord Almighty. God recognizes and cares for the lonely. At creation, the Creator surveys his work, and he says, good, 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 good. Oop, it's not so good that man should be alone. Genesis 2:18. In Psalm 68, verse 6, if you use the NIV, I think it's a great translation. It says, God sets the lonely in families. And for those of us who are part of the forever kingdom, the forever people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we look down through the telescope of time, and we use that language for the church. I even heard it used this morning already. Thank you that we're part of this family of faith. God sets the lonely in families. Now, I realize for some people, maybe that hasn't been true. It hasn't been your total reality, and yet that's our aspiration. That's the ideal for which we strive. Sebastian Younger is a sociologist, wrote a great book called Tribe. Mr. Younger says, there is no survival outside of group survival. Did you catch the implications of that? He said, it's an aberration, it's an anomaly to think somehow there's such a thing as a lone survivor. We survive and we thrive in tribes. Well, let's all resolve in 2022 that we're going to show ourselves friendlier to others. Dale Carnegie wrote, you can make more friends in 2 months by showing interest in other people than you'll make in 2 years in trying to get other people interested in you, right? You know that. You may have 2,000 Facebook friends, congratulations, but how many true blue friends do you really have? I want to mention real quickly 5 words, all of which begin with the letter A, of course. 5 words beginning with the letter A that can help us build enduring relationships. I promise I'll be quick. First A, if you want to build enduring relationships, affinity. Affinity. That's the low-hanging fruit, is you find people with whom you have affinities, common interests, common goals and hobbies and shared values, right? Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Hey, let's go to lunch today. Yeah, you bet. Let's go down to Jason's Deli on Rosedale. Yeah, let's go. Let's go down to Fuzzy Tacos on Westbury. Yeah, let's go. Well, let's go together. Well, we can't. We have two different destinations. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let me mention another A word, and I hasten to say this one. It's acceptance. Even people with whom you have few affinities, still we have to have this heart of acceptance. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. I'm talking about warts and all, quirks and all. I see Brother Casey Blair sitting on the back row back there. Casey, you know what we need out here on our marquee? We're quirky people welcomed here. Why not? We're the church of quirky people. Admit it. Admit it. I was looking at the fellowship last Sunday night. Let's see now. In the fellowship hall, we had Elvis. We had Santa. We had lots of old folks. Had lots of young folks. Had lots of children. Had our beloved deaf members. We had lots of outdoorsmen, white and black and brown. Glorious diversity. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at its bright and shiniest and best. There was some lady, Teresa and I were talking about, that came wandering in wearing a big backpack and a toboggan cap, and she enjoyed Elvis and enjoyed a meal with us, and then we're all trying to speak to her and befriend her, and she just kind of wandered out. Nobody flinches. That's normative here at the Southside Church. Authenticity. If you're interested in only making good impressions and keeping your public image, you're going to have trouble making deep and abiding friendships. Jesus got real with Peter, James, and John in Matthew 26, verse 37 and 38. This is the night before his arrest and crucifixion. He says to his best friends, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." I think we've kind of destigmatized depression. I mean, people will say, "Yeah, I'm depressed." They'll admit and confess, "Man, I'm wrestling with depression. And yet, how many people, really, how many people have you ever just said to you, "Man, I'm lonely"? Number four is assistance. I remember using this sermon illustration 30 years ago because it happened back in 1992. True story, a guy named Donald DeGreeve, 65 years old, playing a round of golf with a foursome in Winter Haven, Florida. And Mr. DeGreeve had this massive heart attack on the 16th green and died right there on the golf course on the 16th green. And they called 911, of course, but his friends played on, as did others. They waited on the coroner and had his body kind of draped with something. But his friends played on, as did other foursomes playing through the golf course. And his friends explained it this way: "Oh, Donald loved golf, and he would have wanted for us to enjoy our game. Donald would have wanted us to continue our game." Oh, baloney. Come on. Romans 12:10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Number five, affirmation. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, affirmation. It says, "Encourage one another, build one another up." That's not so easy. You know what does come easy is critique and criticism. That's my natural default setting. I'm good at that. It's affirmation. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. One last thought, I'll be through. If you're lonely and blue, if you're the bird on the housetop, you have some responsibility too. I want to add another A word, and that is appear. Appear. Don't hide out. Here's Jonah. Here's the brooding preacher under the gourd in the pagan city of Nineveh, up on the hilltop, brooding and pouting and sulking. Here's Elijah, the brooding preacher, prophet, under the juniper tree. Appear. Don't pull the drapes and hide out. You know, even if COVID surges in the next couple of months, like we keep hearing, we can still show up emotionally, right? Get up. Clean up. Dress up. Show up. I have this preacher buddy in Middle Tennessee that went through a crushing divorce. Oh, it's been about 15 years ago now. And he left preaching. He went into school teaching. He's loving teaching. He thinks that's as much ministry as what he ever did, and he's right. But he said his natural tendency was to withdraw and hide. He said he was always been shy anyway. He's an introvert. He said the part of preaching he's always liked is the microphone. Give him the spotlight and the microphone, and he's on. He can preach and teach, but man, don't put them out there in the foyer. Don't make them have to shake hands, chit-chat, engage with people. He said he hated that part. of ministry. But he said he just withdrew and withdrew and got fatter and fatter and fatter, he said. And then he finally had a pivot point. Even during the pandemic, he decided, I'm going to learn to dance. And he lives in Middle Tennessee. He started taking country dance lessons. What is it, line dancing? And he says he's terrible. He's like Herman Munster. Is that a reference too old for most of you? He has no natural rhythm, but he's learned to dance. And he's country dancing. And he says he's lost a lot of weight, and he has. I've seen his picture on Facebook. And he's met people. He's even met a few girls. He's got in some competitions now. I see him on Facebook. He's got his Western hat on, his cowboy hat, and his jeans and his boots and his mask, but he's got smiling eyes. You got my point? If you're battling loneliness, learn to dance. No, that's not my point. My point is, if you're battling loneliness, appear, even if it's emotionally, appear. Well, Chris Jeter gave us a challenge a couple months ago to pray to be filled with God's Spirit. Here's my challenge, not nearly as lofty and as spiritual as Chris's, but here's some suggestions. Smile more. Use people's names when you talk. Introduce yourself. Make eye contact. Avoid one-word answers. How are you today? Fine. Avoid looking at your phone when you're walking and talking. That's a big one, especially for you, all you young folks. Actively look for people on the edges to include. I admire our greeting ministry here at Southside. I admire you ladies and few gentlemen as well that greet others with such joy and enthusiasm. Brother J.P. Sager, I'm officially anointing and proclaiming you our deacon of friendship. I admire the way you wander around and include and speak to us all. Walk more slowly. Did you hear me? Don't gallop around here like a steer out of the stall. Walk more slowly. So that make yourself approachable. Dare to be friendly first. Don't hide from God. Don't hide from God. I know it's so easy to be hurt and blue and depressed and stricken and smitten of heart. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Acts 17, 27, Paul is preaching in Athens. And he says to the Athenians, he says, man, God is not far from any of us. And of course, we know the ultimate cure for loneliness. It's Eden restored. Paradise restored. All relationships restored. Reunions are real. Brokenness mended. All lonely hearts forever comforted. Can we minister to you somehow today? We want to. Hey, I'm talking to you. You need a tribe, and the tribe needs you. We need people in our lives to love and care, nurture, pray, bolster us in times of loneliness. We'll have elders, spirit ministers around the auditorium ready to love on you and pray with you, encourage you. Perhaps this is the day you want to announce your faith in Christ, be immersed in the waters of baptism, for healing, for forgiveness, ready to live a victorious and passionate Christian life. Whatever the need would be, why don't you come right now, gather, we stand and sing.